Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we'll feature the candidates for Senate District C. During tonight's forum on KSRM, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here is your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Merrill Sikorski.
Apologize to everybody who wanted to hear Sean. What's his name? Hannity. That's the guy who's usually on. I'm Merrill Sikorski. Glad to be here. This is hour number two of our candidate forum for KSRM to let you, the voters, have an insight to questions that have been submitted and find out not just the 30-second soundbite that you hear on radio and television, but what these candidates may really believe and do when they are elected. And we appreciate the KSRM radio group for providing this time. With us tonight are the candidates for Senate District C, Heath Smith, Walter Jones, and Gary Stevens. They are all registered Republicans, and we will give Mr. Heath Smith a 60-second opening remark to tell us all why we should elect him to Senate District C.
Well, thanks, Merrill. I appreciate you and KSRM and Scott here that's running the board having me in the studio here today. A great pleasure because I was just here yesterday with Dwayne. I'm running for the state Senate because I feel, as a lifelong Alaskan, that we deserve better at this point. We have had a senator in office now for 22 years, and we continue to operate with a sustainable fiscal policy, and that has created a high level of instability in the services that we provide. And I think that at some point we need to right that ship and have some forward thinking that provides us some stability and confidence in the government that is there. So I'm ready to do that work. I know it's not going to be easy, but it is clear that our current senator is not up to that task.
Okay, thank you. And now the incumbent, Gary Stevens, who is joining us telephonically. Gary, 60 seconds to open up your remarks, please.
Well, thank you, Merrill. I appreciate your doing this. And I certainly am up to the task of doing the job. It's been a privilege to represent the Senate district. We've been through a lot, but with COVID and restrictions on meetings and our economy. As your senator, I've concentrated on funding community-wide projects, as well as legislation affecting fisheries and education, and meeting with concerned citizens. I was able to secure the funding for the first step in Homer's large vessel harbor expansion in the capital budget. It originates in the Senate, of course. I stopped attempts to remove it through working closely with the co-chairs of Finance and House leadership. If I had not been in such a key position, it is likely this funding would have been eliminated. You deserve a strong and well-positioned advocate to ensure the harbor expansion continues to be funded. I've supported many projects benefiting Homer, such as the cruise ship dock, ferry terminal, Pratt Museum, Hockey Association, the Chamber parking lot, and the East End Road. What I'm especially proud of was getting the initial as well as the final money, the new library. Eight of my bills passed the legislature this year alone, more than any other legislator in the House or the Senate. They include Senate Bill 33, a value-added bill increasing the value of Alaska seafood, benefiting both the processors and the fishermen. Senate Bill 20, out-of-state teachers, helping to solve our teacher shortages. And Senate Bill 34.
Okay, Gary, I'm going to have to interrupt you. I know you are telephonically and you can't see the 10-second warning remark, so that'll kind of be our procedure here is when you're out of time, I'm just going to jump in and interrupt you. Does that sound good?
Sounds good, Merrill.
Okay. First question, Gary, and we'll let you start out with this. With three candidates, ranked choice voting applies, but only Republicans in the race. So given that each of you want to be ranked number one, we won't ask you that. But what the question is, why should the voter rank you second or third? Can you tell us how that works and why voters should rank you second, if not first?
Well, sure. You know, this is a personal decision. Really, it's up to the voter. It's not up to the candidate to tell voters what to do. I appreciate those who rank me as first. I thank him for that. But this is a personal choice. I intend personally to rank second and third. I think voters would be wise to do that. Otherwise, if you don't do that, your first choice may get the least amount of votes, and then your ballot ends there, and you have no say in the ultimate winner. So really encourage people to rank the second and third as well.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Jones, why should Mr. Smith rank choice voting? And if people don't rank you first, why should they rank you second or third?
Well, at this point, Walter Jones hasn't even participated in any of these forums, hasn't traveled the district. I don't know that there is a third candidate, quite honestly. So if I'm going to rank second, it will only be because I didn't meet the standard of that of the first. But I would love to people to use the system to the advantage of what it is. I currently think that obviously if people want to rank Mr. Jones before me, that they absolutely put me in a position to take back the Senate for the Alaskans if we want to unseat somebody that has not been doing what he should have been, and that is getting things done and creating stability for our state.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Now, as you both know, Alaska doesn't seem to like party politics when it comes to elections. However, when you get to Juneau, you will be organizing either into a minority or a majority along party lines. Now, what type of coalition would you be willing to organize with, or will you stick strictly to party lines, Mr. Smith?
Well, I think we belong to a party for a reason, and there is there's a construct there that bring us together to work together. I recognize and am fully willing to work as a team with other legislators on the other side of the aisle, because we have to. If we're going to make and be successful with the most consequential decisions looking forward for our state, it's going to take everybody. It's not just about building a binding caucus that is subjected to a very small majority of the majority. And my opponent loves to work with the binding caucus because he believes that that's the only way we get anything done, even though 48 other states don't have it. So I don't know how they ever work through their legislative sessions, but I really think that we should be focused on giving everyone that's elected the same amount of power and voice, and getting to a point to where we value that voice equally.
Thank you. And Senator Stevens, you've been there, done that. As you know, organizing is a whole lot different than getting elected. Give me your reply to organizing in Juneau along party lines.
This is Senator Stevens. Somehow you dropped me out of this, and are you asking that question of me?
Yes, sir. We're waiting for your reply. Do we still have you online, Gary?
But yes, I am. But you dropped me off. So what question are we on?
Okay, we're talking about organizing in Juneau along party lines versus joining coalitions to get a minority or a majority, which has to happen.
Sure. Okay, so let me try to answer that. I've always been in the majority, and that gives my constituents a seat at the table. Being in the majority is really good for constituents, for my constituents. I have been in a 10-10 Senate, 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats, and what you have to do is work across party lines or you never get anything done. Being in the minority, frankly, is ineffective. It's not in the best interest of the district. If being in the majority means joining a coalition, then I would consider joining one for the good of our communities.
Okay, thank you. Gary, next question, and you'll go first with this one. If you don't support ranked choice voting, what would you support to replace it with? Gary?
I'm sorry. Say that again. What would I support to replace ranked choice?
Yes.
Well, remember, ranked choice was voted in by the people, not by the legislature. We have no choice but to use ranked choice voting this coming election. And then if it doesn't work in 2 years, the legislature can change it. So we have to see where it goes. The legislature generally is pretty loath to overturn a vote of the public.
Okay, there does seem to be a lot of support to repeal ranked choice voting, and what we're looking for are ideas that might be better than ranked choice or the old primary system. Any comments?
Well, if the voters moved to do away with ranked choice voting, we go back to the old system that we've always had.
Okay, and Mr. Smith, your comments on ranked choice voting and something that would be an alternative to it.
Well, I did not vote for Proposition 2. I had great hesitation in the fact that even though the courts determined that it was okay to combine those two questions into one ballot question, clearly, very different components of our election system. So, as far as the confusion that existed with the voters in what they were voting for or against, I think those that voted against it clearly knew, but the fact that it passed by such a slim margin, and the resounding pushback that I've received in the campaign trail as far as the system of electing our officials, there needs to be a path for it to be corrected. I think if there is something to be done, I would prefer it be done through something on the ballot for the people to repeal it. If we need to take action from the floor, then that's not something that I would ultimately say that I would not support, but I'm definitely in support of getting rid of it. I think one vote, one person has worked for a very long time, and I would not be opposed to moving back to that.
Thank you very much, Heath Smith. First on the next question, if the Constitutional Convention should fail, do you have a specific amendment that you'd like to put forward for ratification?
Well, I think one of the things that that I have heard over and over again from constituents, and something that has come forward by the Fiscal Policy Working Group, is a recommendation to enshrine the permanent fund dividend formula in the Constitution, so that it no longer is something that can be abused. And I'm going to say abused by the legislature. And that, I think, really has to happen. Another thing that I've heard with great commonality over across the district is term limits. And I think the only way that something like that survives over time is through a constitutional amendment. And another one, quite honestly, would be maybe even campaign contributions.
In the Constitution?
Yep. And it would have to obviously be, it would have to be scaled to account for inflation, those types of things. But Alaskans really want that.
Okay, thank you. And Gary Stevens, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with the same question to Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Meryl Sikorski with the candidate debate this afternoon for Senate District C. The incumbent Gary Stevens, Republican, challengers Heath Smith, Republican, and Walter Jones will all be on the ballot. With us today telephonically is Gary Stevens, and I apologize, Senator Stevens, for the technical difficulties that we've had that have not allowed you to hear some of the responses or questions, but the question we are on now is regarding the vote on the Constitutional Convention. If it should fail, is there an amendment that you would put forward for ratification that you think needs to be added to the state of Alaska's Constitution?
Well, sure. Thanks so much, Meryl. I am sorry about this bad connection we have, apparently. But as for the Constitutional Convention, the CONCON, if it fails, then, it really is a tremendous opportunity for a bill to deal with the PFD. We need an amendment to the Constitution that's needed to solve this problem, to solve it hopefully once and for all. I really like the governor's suggestion of a 50-50 plan, 50% to projects or to capital projects and to our entire budget, actually, and the other 50% going to the public, going as a permanent fund dividend. So I think that's the way to go. If it fails, we'll have a bill, and it will be discussed and debated. We'll hear the experts, we'll hear from the public, and come up with the best amendment we can to the Constitution.
Thank you very much, Senator Stevens. Now, before the break, Mr. Smith answered that same question, so I'm going to let you go first with the next question, which is regarding the Homer Large Vessel Port expansion, which would bring wide-ranging economic benefits to the region. What specific steps, as a state senator, would you take to move the expansion forward?
Well, thank you. I've been very supportive of the Homer Large Port expansion. I was in a key position to get it in this year's budget. It's a multiple-year project, of course. Even bigger funds are required in the future. We were able to match the city's $750,000, and that gets the Corps of Engineers to work on the next step to get the plans done. So the city was helpful, and we were helpful in getting those monies. Enormously important project to Homer. District-wide, it will be the biggest project in future years. I was able to keep it in the budget, which begins in the Senate after several attempts to remove it. So, I think it's a great project. It's a big deal. It stayed in the budget. I was proud to vote for that budget. Working across the aisle is very important on this project, and I'm committed to the long-term solution.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Stevens. You are right on the time with our time frame. Okay, now we're going to go back to the same question with Heath Smith regarding the Homer Large Vessel Port expansion. If elected in the Senate, what would you do to move that project forward?
Well, interestingly, I was involved in this as a city council member, and I was largely responsible with finding the $750,000 that the city provided for their match money. And I thought that it was really important that we had our side of that done before we went to the state in order to ask for any matching money to be a partner, because it's going to take all three of those players in order to pull that off. And interestingly, he continues to talk about how, you know, there was resistance within the Senate finance to fund $750,000. And I quite honestly think that the pushback was for the $15 million that Kodiak got for a fire station. That's nearly less than a fifteenth of what we asked for a regional project, but yet they were able to pull off $15 million for a fire hall while the city itself of Kodiak hardly put in any money. So those are the kind of constructs of you know, state help that we really need to restructure.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. First on this next question, former governor and current candidate Walker says he has a plan for $2 a gallon gas. Is that something that you'd be interested in using our royalty oil to support? Mr. Smith.
Well, I really would have to see how he intends to pull that off. It sounds good as a campaign ploy, but, you know, the reality of being able to do that without undermining the overall health of what our royalties would take, that'd be interesting to see. So I have to see the math on that before I'd be able to support it.
Okay, Senator Stevens, did you hear that same question? It's regarding the proposed plan to get $2 a gallon gas and to be subsidized by royalty oil. Would you support that?
Well, you know, we really have to learn more about this plan, and honestly, Governor Walker needs to explain it to us before I can support it. It's not been discussed or debated in the Senate. We simply don't know the details, and I really am awaiting further explanation before I'd feel comfortable commenting on that.
Okay, Gary, let's go with another question then. With everyone from law offices to health care to pizza parlors looking for employees, what do you see as the legislature's role in filling the labor market gap in Alaska? Senator Stevens. Okay, we'll see why we're not in touch with Senator Stevens at the moment, and we're going to ask Heath Smith to take that question about the legislature's role in filling the labor market in Alaska.
Well, I really think that we need to look at what the barriers to entry into the workforces are, right? If we don't identify the problem, then we can't really find the solution. We have nearly twice as many jobs available as we do have people on unemployment. So what's keeping them from getting into the workforce? And is there anything that we're doing as a state as far as benefits or subsidies that is preventing them to going back to work, whether it's barriers like getting affordable child care or that they're getting more on unemployment than if they were to go back to work? What can we do in order to facilitate a return to the workforce? Because those that contribute to the economy are going to be the greatest factor in really raising the morale of our state. And so I would want to identify what the barriers are first and if any of those are created by the government itself.
Okay, thank you. And Senator Stevens, if you're back with us, the question is regarding what you see as the legislature's role in filling the labor market gap here in Alaska.
Well, sure. You know, two of our biggest problems that have to be solved are affordable housing and education. And I support both. Highly qualified Alaskans, particularly young Alaskans, need to be able to get a solid foundation so they can stay in our state and not have to leave. And they must be prepared to enter the job market right after high school if that's what they want, or go on to vocational training through trade unions or the Seward Skills Center or even higher education. It's a great need and a good job in the area of teaching. You know, I've always wondered why more of our young people don't go into teaching. We have to go outside to hire teachers. It's a good job. It pays well. There's no reason why we can't grow our own teachers here in Alaska. There's an interesting organization called Educators Rising, which have young students encouraging people to go into the teacher training. And we need livable wages here in Alaska. I hope we can explore the possibility of returning another issue to defined contribution plan for our employees.
Thank you, Gary. One question, and then we're going to hit the hard news break here on the location of the state capitol. It's been around as long as I have. Should it be moved? Should legislative sessions be held in other communities? Senator Stevens?
Okay. I don't support moving the capital because it'd be so expensive to do so, and these Alaskan voters have repeatedly opposed the cost that's attached to it. There has been very little support in the legislature over the years, and of course it would damage Juneau economy pretty seriously. We're the biggest state, and wherever you place the capital, there are going to be Alaskans who have to travel a long ways to get there. We need to focus on our legislative information offices, I believe, make them more available in more communities, take advantage of all the new means of communication. But basically, I think it would be a mistake financially for us to move the capital.
You're listening to KSRM's Candidate Debate, and we have 1 minute for Mr. Heath's response to the question about moving the capital.
Well, I think that accessibility is paramount if we want to have the people have a proper voice in the process. And while technology has increased and provided more ways for us to interact, I think moving the Capitol is not really a viable thing to do. But moving at least maybe one of the sessions to on the road system might be a great thing to explore. It's interesting that the senator talked about having accessible LIOs. And the fact is that we have an LIO in Homer that represents half our district that he doesn't even staff. And to me, that's a reflection of disinterest and not being committed to the very thing that he talked about.
We will return with a candidate forum following ABC News on KSRM. For Soldaten, Akeni, and Homer, this is Senate District C with incumbent Gary Stevens and challenger Heath Smith. We will be returning right after the ABC News break.
Live from the KSRM studios on K-Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we'll feature the candidates for Senate District C. During tonight's forum on KSRM, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here is your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Merrill Sikorski.
And the decision will be up to you next week on whether to return Senator Gary Stevens to the state legislature or to elect his challenger Heath Smith or Walter Jones, who is not with us for this forum. Senator Stevens, we are going to start off with you on the first question, issues that are definitely interest to your district. Would like to know your ideas for sustaining our halibut, salmon, and crab fisheries. Senator Stevens, please.
Thanks, Merrill. So much of our fisheries occur outside of state limits, so we have to work closely with our delegation in D.C., in Washington, D.C. We need excellent scientific research to make sure we have the best management decisions. We certainly have to listen to our fishermen, find ways to manage our resources fairly and equitably. It all has to be done consistently with science. I think that really means we have to prioritize research. The CAPS have worked in the past, they'll work in the future to make sure that overfishing does not happen. So basically work with our D.C. delegation, work with our fishermen, and make decisions based on science. That's what we have to do.
Okay, thank you very much. And Mr. Smith, your address on the question of sustaining the fisheries in halibut, salmon, and crab in your district.
Well, we have to look at the heart of who is in charge of management, and we have to make sure that the people that are appointed to, like, the Board of Fish or the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, that those people are objective, that they're looking at the fisheries as a whole, and that there's no self-interest invested in their decision-making. Obviously, the science, as the senator said, it should be the basis. Our fishermen get very frustrated at times because they're ignored in the process of these decisions. And they're fully invested in this, and they have decades of experience, and they should be at the table in the discussion and coming to the conclusions and the recommendations and implementations of policies that are open-minded and really in the greatest interest of the sustainability of our fisheries. So I think there's a process there, and I think we need to have objective players at the table, and our appointments to those commissions and boards need to be representing that.
Thank you very much, Heath. First on the next question, which is regarding education, what do you see as needed to improve education in the state of Alaska, and do you support forward funding of education?
Well, quite honestly, I think that if we had a stable forward-thinking fiscal plan, then we wouldn't have to worry about forward funding. But the reality is that we've been bouncing and rolling the dice every year on our budget, that we have to think in those terms. And this is my main point on why I'm running really, is not just the lack of representation that we've seen throughout the district, but also that we just don't have a commitment to putting into place a fiscal plan that creates stability within the state and the services we provide. So that's one of the problems, is the instability that exists in the budget process. And the second thing is I think one of the things that's hampering the system is the inability for us to kind of offer a benefit package that keeps people in Alaska. And, you know, we had the broken tiers of our benefit package that really kind of created this unfunded liability and created us having to kind of go to a defined contribution rather than a defined benefit.
Thank you. And Senator Stevens, question regarding education, improvements that we need to make, any ideas, and do you support forward funding for education?
Well, thanks, Earl. Yes, I do support forward funding of education. As president of my school board for 3 years, I had the pink slip teachers when the governor cut our budget in half, and then we had to turn around and rehire them once we had a budget. Of course, many teachers said, I don't want to be part of that system, and left, so we lost so many good teachers along the way. Our districts have to plan for multiple years, there's no question about that, if they're going to avoid pink slips. Terrible situation where you hire teachers, then terminate them every year. Doesn't help the quality of education that we're delivering to our students. Students deserve a chance, a good chance to succeed. Trade schools, vocational training, higher ed at all levels, everyone deserves a chance to succeed. We do have to address the retirement issue. We're just really not attracting as many teachers as we should from the lower 48. Hopefully we will begin to see more local kids go into education and become teachers themselves. But we had a terrible situation where we had an enormous unfunded liability, and it was getting worse and worse, so we had to make those changes. But I think it's time now to go back and look at that and see, can we have a retirement system, maybe not so generous.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Your time is up, but we'll let you go first on this next question. Any ideas to help senior citizens with fixed incomes handle inflation and the high medical costs?
Sure. Of course, we passed the biggest PFD ever this year. That helps all Alaskans, and particularly seniors whose income is often on a limited basis. The large PFD, as well as the additional funding that we passed, was really a recognition of the high energy costs all Alaskans face, especially seniors. Many of our senior programs are federally funded, so we have to support those programs like Social Security and Medicare to assist seniors with high medical costs and inflation. Those problems are not going away, and could get worse in the future. So I support the administration doing a good job. The administration has its efforts to connect seniors with federal programs. Everyone who is eligible deserves these services. We really got out our wallet this year. That's why I voted for the largest PFD we have ever had and recognizing the high costs of energy throughout Alaska. The administration's efforts through the Division of Insurance to connect Alaskans with federal programs has really been tremendous, along with the high PFD. That's been a big support for seniors in our area.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. And Mr. Smith, the same question about senior citizens on fixed incomes, how to handle those costs of high medical expenses and inflation.
Well, I think medical costs is one of those things that we really have to address. I mean, it's one of the highest costs with between health and social services in our state budget. And so I think there needs to be greater transparency and availability to good information so that we're not getting overcharged on that line. So I think the state, as a player within providing those services, needs to be able to attack and create some sort of accountability to these people that really, quite honestly, overcharge. And so that has to be attacked. The second thing is that we had the money to provide a full dividend and a full energy assistance check. And that's something that did not pass. And that's unfortunate because we transferred, in the last 3 years, we've transferred $8 billion from the earnings reserve account into the corpus of the permanent fund. So it's not a matter of whether the money was there or not. It's a matter of what they decided they wanted to spend it on. And there are better ways that we can help, especially those that need the most.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. And first on the next question, what's your proposed solution to paying a PFD, speaking of money, the PFD dividend, and yet funding necessary state services all within a balanced budget?
Well, like I just said, you know, there was money in the earnings reserve account to pay a full dividend. And there was plenty there to kind of make sure that we had enough for state services. So it's really about your approach to spending money. And this comes back to the lack of policy in our fiscal plan because it doesn't exist. And they, you know, it's been determined by these past legislatures that we don't deserve a full dividend. And so the approach through the POMV model is that they're going to try to accelerate the growth of the fund balance so that they can get to that 5% that they think is a magic number to generate $5 billion. The problem with that is if you look at, I mean, markets go up and down. We've seen the value of the permanent fund itself go down over $10 billion since the end of last session. So there's a big difference between $84 billion and $73 billion. So how do you make up those differences on a 5% draw?
Okay, thank you very much. And Gary Stevens, the same question about the PFD dividend.
Well, you know, I believe the governor's plan of 50-50 is something that's workable. We have to work on that and see how it actually works out. But 50% of the money goes to statewide service, 50% to the PFD. Makes a lot of sense. And that should be our primary goal, I think, of the legislature this year. We have to get this plan before the legislature. We need to have hearings and hear from the public and hear from experts on how it works. I'm really absolutely opposed to overspending the permanent fund. We have a 5% market value that comes out of the fund, that goes into the general fund, used for services and for the PFD. You know, I don't believe we should be taking any more out of that. All big funds like that, the most they take out is 4.5% or 5%. So we should make sure that we don't do any more than that. So I want to make it perfectly clear. I do not support an income tax, either a sales tax or an income tax. I believe we can provide the services the public wants and a reasonable PFD. We don't need to overspend from the permanent fund. We should absolutely avoid overspending from the permanent fund.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Stevens. And you're listening to the District Senate C campaign candidates on KSRM. We're going to take a break, and then Matt Wilson will be back to conclude this part of candidates for 2022.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
And thank you for joining us here tonight as we continue with our Senate District C forum on KSRM. We'll be posting this entire forum later on this evening or first thing tomorrow morning on our website at RadioKenai.com. My name is Matt Wilson, sitting in for Meryl Sikorski for the back half, about our last 13 minutes here of our forum this evening. Candidates that were invited, Representative Gary Stevens, Walter Jones, and Heath Smith in the studio with us is Heath Smith. On the phone with us, Representative Gary Stevens, the incumbent. And we last left off with Gary, so we'll start this next round of questions with Heath Smith. Heath, the Supreme Court has returned the abortion issue to the states. Do you or would you support any changes in Alaska's abortion laws?
Well, I am pro-life. And so, you know, that is kind of the basis of how I operate personally. I understand that, you know, how that intersects with society is not always easy. It's kind of messy, actually. And, you know, our Constitution, as it's been interpreted by the Supreme Court, is has taken the position that our personal rights are that abortion falls into that and is protected. So that's going to take something of an act of a constitutional amendment in order to do that. And that is going to be up to the people. So, you know, if you look at this, you know, who wants to tell a 14-year-old girl that is addicted to heroin and homeless that she has to have a baby, or quite frankly should? And so you look at, you know, the broad spectrum of circumstances that exist in society, and how do you kind of reconcile that with the moral issues that adhere to?
Same question for Gary Stevens. The Supreme Court has returned the abortion issue to the states. Do you or would you support any changes to Alaska's abortion laws?
Well, I've always been pro-life. That's my record after many, many votes. I believe in pro-life, always will. The only way to change a constitution is through either a convention or a bill in the legislature. Either way, one or the other could be done. If the convention, constitutional convention fails, it'll be on the ballot in November. If it fails, then we need to go to a bill and have a bill in the legislature. Alaskans, of course, are an independent lot, and generally I think they support pro-life.
Thank you very much. Gary, this question will go to you first, and we'll go back to fuel. Should gasoline or fuel oil sellers be regulated like NSTAR or HEA?
Well, gasoline fuel prices are, of course, a double-edged sword. As an oil-producing state, we benefit when high prices occur, but also as individuals, we certainly don't want to pay more at the gas station. Our gas taxes are among the lowest in the nation, but we can help by reducing them even further. One of the reasons for the highest PFD in history was due to the high gas and oil prices we all have to pay. I should point out that I voted for an even higher PFD because we had the money. The Senate passed a budget that included a $3,800 PFD. It went to the House and was reduced to $3,200. So a double-edged sword, but important. We can do some things about it, like reduce our limited taxes on gasoline.
All right. Thank you very much. Same question to Heath Smith. Should gasoline slash fuel oil, either or, should the oil sellers be regulated like NSTAR and HEA?
Well, the RCA is kind of a mixed lot in the people that that get appointed to that board, and I don't know that I'd have complete confidence in the fact that they would act in the best interest of the people as it is. So what I really think is that we need to figure out what the disparity is. You know, I was marking down what the price of gas was coming up the road. Homer's $5.44. You get to Nanilchik, and it's $4.77. You get to Kenai, and it's $4.99. Now, local taxes is not making up those differences. So you start to wonder, really, I mean, if Nanilchik can charge that little of a price, you know, 3 cents a dollar is not making up that huge difference. I mean, that's 67 cents difference in Homer. And so you wonder, and you think about the value of maybe trying to have some kind of market control there. But I don't know if that's really the answer. And lastly, you know, out of the House came a bill to eliminate or postpone it was a moratorium on the motor fuel tax, and it did not get out of the Senate, and it had nearly a full support in the House and the governor.
So this seems to be a topic both are passionate about. So a very similar question, but on the same lines. Senator Wilikowski and Kawasaki, they're asking for an investigation into price gouging. What are your thoughts in regards to price gouging on fuel? And we'll start with Heath Smith.
Well, I think part of the answer was in the last one, in the sense that, I mean, the disparity in the prices is kind of, it's puzzling. It makes you wonder. And so, you know, you talk to these gas station owners and they say, oh, it's pennies on the dollar. We don't make any money. But yet you look at that 67 cents and you say, well, you can't really justify a 67 cents difference between Nanilchik and Homer for transportation costs. And definitely Nanilchik is not getting the kind of break that Homer is for volume. So you start to wonder about what is going on in there. And so I appreciate the fact that they brought that forward, because they've done it before in the past. And I think that people, you know, these people that are selling gas need to know that there are people paying attention and there's some accountability.
Gary Stevens, same to you. Senator Wilikowski and Kawasaki are asking for an investigation into price gouging on fuel. What are your thoughts on that bill?
Well, we've had two investigations I know about in the past, and neither of them came up with a good solution or a solution at all. And basically, I think the problem is that Alaska is just too small a market, and we have a limited number of suppliers. Again, that's why we thought it was necessary to make sure we had the largest PFD in history and could help Alaskans through tough times like this. There have been investigations in the past. They've all led nowhere. I'm anxious to see if another investigation, if it's done, will come up with any different conclusions.
All right. Thank you very much. And we'll start back with you, Gary. The question is, the Kenai Peninsula just passed three major bond propositions: school maintenance, a new fire station, and a field house. Will you support the legislature reimbursement for some of those bonds?
Well, absolutely. I've always supported bond debt reimbursement. That's my record. I think it's a great idea to do. I have a voting history of doing so. If you just look at the record, we need to invest in our communities and our young people, make sure they have a quality education, so we can employ more Alaskans and not have to go outside to hire outsiders to do the jobs that Alaskans could do.
Thank you very much. Heath Smith, same question to you. The Kenai Peninsula just passed three major bond propositions: school maintenance, a new fire station, a field house. Will you support legislature reimbursement for some of those bonds?
Well, I think that the bond reimbursement program is important, and it shows that the state is invested in the success of our communities and the state as a whole. The biggest problem that I have is the is that we are not maybe requiring from these communities that they have enough skin in the game to show that they're going to be responsible for what they get. The deferred maintenance is a perfect issue. I mean, if the state is going to do a debt reimbursement of 60 to 70%, and they're not going to take care of those schools, and then it has to be done through it, and they're going to come back to the state to take care of that, I think that's wrong. I think people need to be committed to the process of taking care of this infrastructure over time so that it does not increase the costs and that the burden does not fall back on the state. And, you know, if we're going to get involved in programs, I want this. I want these municipalities and boroughs to be fully vested in the process and the program, because, like, Kodiak got $15 million for a fire station that they're putting next to nothing into.
All right. Thank you very much. These guys have been so efficient on getting through their questions that the questions that Meryl and I put together, we have basically exhausted them, and we have a few minutes left on here. So I have a couple questions that I have put together that neither of these two candidates have seen, but they're not very severely difficult questions. So, gentlemen, I apologize for not giving you these in advance, but a couple questions as we start to wind down this evening's forum. Heath, we'll start first with you. You represent quite a large area if you were to be elected into this office. For the constituents listening to this, and will listen to this over the next few days, explain to them how you can represent such a large area.
Well, over the course of this campaign, I've been to Cordova twice. I've been to Kodiak four times. I've been to Seward twice. I've been up and down the peninsula within the district. I want to make it clear that I'm going to be where the people are and that I'm there to represent them. And that's been one of my biggest frustrations with our current senator, is that he has largely, in my mind, taken us for granted. And so he has delivered out of the cookie jar, and he's given some, you know, examples of that. But it's more to it than that. And so I want to hear the people, be there for the people, and ultimately represent them and their voice in Juneau. And, you know, I made reference earlier. We have an LOIO in Hoover that represents half our district that he has left unstaffed. And to me, that's inexcusable. You know, Juneau is largely inaccessible to so many people. Those LIOs are super important. And so I've shown throughout this campaign that I'm willing to show up. I'm willing to do the hard work. And I want them to know that I'm committed to that.
Gary Stevens, same question for you. You represent currently a very large area across the state of Alaska. For the constituents listening right now, explain to them how you can and continue to, if elected, serve the large area that you represent.
Well, absolutely right. It is a large area. You know, I have friends in Anchorage in the legislature who can see their entire district, you know, and see the ends of it, where we really can't. You know, it's the distance between, say, Kodiak and Cordova is just enormous. And so you have to cover a lot of area, and I certainly have done that in the past. This has been a particularly tough year with COVID. People didn't want to meet. People didn't want to get into groups. So that'll change. As for the issue of my LIO staff, you know, we have limited staff. It'd be nice if we could get, you know, I have an LIO in Cordova and Kodiak and Homer. It'd be hard to staff all of those, but I did have a staff member in for a long period of time in the Homer LIO. Unfortunately, she retired. I've been looking for someone to fill in for her and be in that position. So we need to make use of those LIOs. We have staff who are there during session, but during the interim, we just don't have staff there. So it's a large area. I've gotten around it. I've met everyone, I believe, that wants to meet with me. I've met in all sorts of venues, went into all sorts of homes to talk to people, let them know what we're doing, and answer any questions I can.
Okay, there we go. There's your 60 seconds. Thank you so much. We're starting to wind down a time, so I'm going to give each of you guys an opportunity for closing statements, and Gary, we'll start with you, and we'll give you a 30-second closing statement.
Well, I've always been in the majority caucus. I think that benefits my district enormously, and minority has limited influence and limited control. Much can be accomplished if you're in the majority. Served in a lot of leadership roles, leadership counts, seniority matters. I will do my best to help solve the enormous problems facing Alaska. In the end, the question has been asked, what have I done for you? Well, I've listened and responded to your needs. I've ensured your projects are included in the capital and operating budget. I sponsored legislation in education and fisheries that will affect not only our district, but all of Alaska. You deserve strong, experienced, and principled leadership. I ask you to stick with me, stick with Stevens. Thank you for the honor of representing you, and thanks to you, Matt.
Thank you very much. Heath Smith.
Thanks, Matt. Well, clearly, I wouldn't be here today if I thought that our current senator was doing the job that we needed. So I'm here to ask for your vote. It's time to get a sustainable fiscal policy in place. In my mind, if his experience has failed to deliver that, which is really kind of the control of everything else that we have to do, is the finances. So I'm ready to deliver on something that's going to provide stability within our government and instill some confidence in the people in that process. And I am willing to, if you look at your APOC, at the APOC statements, it'll show that the vast majority of the people that have supported me are common people like you in this district and not from outside money like our current senator.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. You've been listening to KSRM's coverage of the Senate District C. The forum here tonight, Heath Smith and Gary Stevens in our studios. We'll be posting this later on tonight and tomorrow on our website at RadioKenai.com. Tomorrow night, we will feature the candidates for House District 7 at 4 p.m. and then at 5 p.m., the Senate District D candidates right here on KSRM as we continue our coverage of Decision 2022. Again, thanks to all of our candidates and our studio staff. This is KSRM, Soldotna, Kenai, Homer at 6 o'clock. Here's ABC News.